Welcome to Around the ACL. Michelle Thompson here with Trey Ryder and Wally Kassler, coming off a very exciting weekend in Michigan. Before we even get into it, if you didn't watch that final singles match, go back and watch it on the American Cornhole League Facebook page or YouTube page, because the match between Jeremiah Ellis and Matt Guy was absolutely insane. One we'll talk about for a long time, I'm sure. But before we get into it, we're also going to have news around the league on the show today. We're going to have our top 10 shots from Open number 12. We're going to actually get into the kickoff battle. It's time to get the pro season started. Just a couple of weeks. Talk about doubles this week, singles next week. We've got buy or sell. And then, of course, our hot takes. So before we get into it, Trey, your weekend, any cornhole?
Yeah, I actually, you know, I've been working with Dusty here to do some of the commentary and live feeds for the regional here in Rock Hill. And it's so funny because it often coincides that there's an open where I'm doing the streaming and then I also have the open, right? And so Clemson had a big athletics weekend as well. So I'm literally, I had my little setup. I had my laptop and I had my, like, my brackets in one corner. And I did like four corners and I had a Clemson sporting event, my bracket for the event I was calling, and then in the top right, I always had the open singles like feed from the open. And so literally I was just like rotating different screens. And so it was awesome because, like, of course, you know, we already hit on it, like the big open singles final. But I just remember, like, I'm calling a game and I'm kind of just doing one of these, like looking back, and then I just kept, I remember actually Jack Gore came up to me and he goes, or Jake did. He goes, and I see, he's like, oh, I saw Matt was winning. And I said, yeah, he's running away with it. And he said, is it over? And I'm like, no, but yes. And I remember saying that. And then sure
counted
enough,
him out.
Just another couple points. And I remember looking at the screen and be like, has this guy missed? And like, because I wasn't watching every single round because I'm obviously trying to pay attention to what I'm doing. But like, it went like, felt like 30 minutes and I didn't see a single bag missed. So, but yeah, I spent most of the
time. It wasn't real life.
Yeah. Well, no, 78 out of 80 bags there at the end or something crazy.
Well, 86 out of 88. I went back and looked at everything.
It was what?
86 out of 88.
86 out of 88. Bananas.
Yeah. Just insane to end the game. But
you want to talk about a well-used open board timeout.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Beast mode.
Yeah. I mean, it was because I went back and you look at the stats. It's like they had an ugly 7-6 round in the middle of the game and like round 20 or 19 or something like that. And then I guess Ellis just said, nah, no more of that. I'm good. And
well,
then,
he said he was trying to block and then he stopped trying to block. So that was definitely a shift that happened in the game. But yeah, pretty incredible. So let's just get into it. I know Wally's got a lot to say about it. So let's go through the winners. Obviously, singles. Oh, really? We have Jeremy.
Before we get into that, Trey, did you realize we're in the presence of greatness? Michelle, in the top 2% of the country with the NCAA picks.
Top 2%?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she is. Michelle, she's got a top guru. She's a top 2%.
I have a secret, but I'll reveal at the end.
Didn't you copy someone else's bracket?
There's a secret. I'm not going to reveal it. Don't call it out yet, Trey. Come on.
It's all right. I'm out of it. So, like, I'm two of my final four are done. So I'm out of there. So.
Yeah, Mish and I are in the top two as far as remaining points available.
Let's go. All right. Well, okay. I promise I will reveal my secrets when it's all over. But stay tuned for that. But for the winners, Jeremiah Ellis takes down singles. The Ryans, Ryan Smith, Ryan Wiedenfeld get doubles. Women's, Dia Lee. Seniors, Damon Dennis. And juniors, Navarro Dip. Wally, you were there. Boots on the ground. Take us through it.
So basically, similar situations across the board. There you go with juniors. Navarro Dip was down, I believe, 16-0. Hit a miraculous shot that we'll see later. And then just did not look back after that. Just went on an absolute tear, taking down juniors. You can kind of go the same thing with doubles. Ryan Wiedenfeld and Ryan Smith, they looked okay throughout the day. And then it comes down to that semifinal match where Ryan threw a perfect game, 40 for 40. Ryan Smith wasn't too far behind him. And they just looked unstoppable in doubles as well. Same thing with Jeremiah. Once he was down 18-3, thought it was over. Just another absolute tear. All these players just went beast mode. Damon Dennis doing Damon Dennis things. And then DLE, new to the scene, kind of. She's always been a strong thrower, kind of stays up north, but it was good to see the mom cornhole community get behind her, and she was able to pull one out there. And I love whenever sponsored players win during the week that their sponsor sponsors live feeds. So if you're a sponsor out there and you have players going to these events, make sure you sponsor the live feed so they can win. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, serendipitous. For sure. Well, what about getting into doubles? More, you got more to say there? I mean, those are your boys.
In doubles, I mean, it was pretty much everyone's got their eyes on Adam Hister and Trey Birchfield again. You know, we're watching the brackets. We're like, okay. And you almost find yourself rooting against them at some point because you don't want it to be straight across the board the entire season. And I absolutely hate going chalk. But Ryan Smith and Ryan Wiedenfeld, and let's be honest, it wasn't like a super, super stacked field. But we still saw some really, really elite talent. A couple standouts for me, Brady Foster and Jimmy Eumanns. You know, Brady Foster is up there throwing the 11s, which that's new for me. I haven't seen that all season. You know, Jimmy Eumanns is continuing to throw very, very well. Some underwhelming performances as we get ready for the pro season. But Ryan Wiedenfeld had all the shots working. His airmail, you know, you could always hear a perfect airmail. When he just bangs the back of the hole and it makes that loud hit before it goes drifts back in. He was hitting that exact spot over and over and over again. I was really entertained all weekend. Minor league teams was really, really fun to watch this weekend. Again, not a big fan of the late night setups, man. I apologize. It's hard to get into Fridays. But doubles day is nice recoup energy in the building. It was fun to see Jeremiah Ellis throw against Ryan Hart. They were having some good banter back and forth. But Jaden Ellis and Jeremiah Ellis kind of underwhelming in doubles. I really expected more out of them. I mean, Jake's hot take was really, really far off. Jaden Ellis just could not get it going. But Ryan Hart and Brett Guy looked really, really good. So I'm really happy to see what Brett Guy's got to the table right now.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder because I know we expressed, I think it was even last week that there was some concern about, I think I asked, do you think Jeremiah Ellis will take down a singles and a doubles in the pro events? And the concern was with Ryan Hart. So does that change at all for you, Trey, seeing the way Ryan performed this past weekend?
Muted.
Oh, you're muted. Yeah. Cool. Yeah,
I just realized I'm on mute. Yeah, good talk. Rookie mistake. I would just say I'm not that worried. I mean, it's not that I'm worried because I just don't know if Ryan Hart can get all the way towards the end in a big event like this. I mean, we're talking about when getting all the pros together, like it's just a different beast. I mean, yes, we saw what Jeremiah did this weekend, but you need to have that equivalent on the double side. When we look at Ryan Smith and Ryan Wiedenfeld, and how they were able to win, it's because both of them are complementary players and they're always going to play at the top, right? Ryan Hart can do that for a number of games. I'm just not sure if he's at that level just yet to where we know he can consistently play alongside Jeremiah. He may have one-off events and things like that where he plays really well, but he's got to be able to do it for an entire tournament, especially against the best players in the world, and that's what's going to make it, you know, difficult to see. But, you know, I guess I'll just, you know, I'll roll in the doubles, you know, my thoughts on doubles as well is just, I thought for sure Adam Hister and Trey Birchfield were just going to do it again. I mean, it just felt like it, right? I mean, they're just so in sync sometimes. It's honestly so impressive to watch them at this point. And by far and away, they have to be the favorite going into this kickoff battle that we're going to talk about in a little bit. I mean, how consistent they've been, it's the epitome of consistency. And if there's any complaint you're looking for is that, did they pick the wrong time to peak, right? Did they want to do this in a month from now and not in this very moment? But, you know, there's no reason why we can't say what they're doing right now can't translate over into the season. So I think that's important. And I think it's also worth mentioning, if you're looking for that breakout, right? A year ago, we talked about Justin Burton Jr. going to a non-ACL event, but it was a big breakout performance where he swept and he beat a bunch of pros. And everybody was like, oh, like that's interesting. But he was peaking right at that same time. So this is about the time that you're expecting people that are just getting hot now to stay hot through the rest of the tournament. So I think that's great on the double side for Ryan Smith and Ryan Wiedenfeld, honestly, to keep that rolling. So I think that was interesting for me to see and see how they perform. So ultimately, I was impressed by them. The Ellis's, was fun to watch. I know, all I got to say is Jake Brannon, like, you can't come out here and declare the world, right? And then not be right, right?
Not even say, here to defend himself.
Yeah, exactly. This is why I can say it, right? You can't come out here and say nobody is even going to come close. And
did you see? Take a look at his top five list we put out there.
Yeah.
He was all in, man. You got to give him credit for sticking to it.
Maybe it's his. Maybe he jinxed him. Maybe this is Jake's fault.
Yeah, I 100% blame Jake. I mean, the announcer jinx is real.
There's a Jake's takes for you, right? Yeah. Jake's jinx. That's what it is.
No,
right?
Jake's jinx. Yeah, we're hey, just... if you can call it meeshing when you throw the bag off the board, we can do a Jake's jinx. Okay,
I forgot it's all fair about, game out here. Forgot all about that. I got to bring that back.
I don't do that much anymore. Okay,
a couple other standouts, real quick. Anthony Maybaugh and Jeremy Schermerhorn were the top seed coming out of Rounders, so they performed very, very well. I like that pairing chemistry a little bit more than I did in the offseason. Seeing them in person, I think they did really well. And then Jordan Power and Joe Niestead, looks like they're close. They're getting ready, so heading into the pro season, they had a good run. I want to say they came back and double dipped for their bracket. Couple of amateur, I guess, elite players. I'm not sure if they're elite or not, but Clint Bucani and David Brown. Is it David Brown?
Yeah.
I think it's David Brown. Yeah. They were great. They looked great the entire weekend, no matter what they were playing. So it's really cool to see some standouts like that, not in the pro field. But a couple other players that really stood out to me this weekend. I know we kind of touched base a little bit on some singles, but Owen Crick. Had no idea who this kid was. Kid looks very, very good. And then obviously throwing the canine bags, you're going to get my attention. And, he went up against Matt Guy, and you could tell he was a little bit nervous, but he held his own for the most part. Matt Guy just said Matt Guy things. Tyler Stratton, people were in my DMs telling me to look out for Tyler Stratton the entire weekend. I said, I have no idea who this kid is. Ryan Wiedenfeld took him to game number two, but Tyler holds on to it. Again, lost to Matt Guy. Matt Guy ending dreams this last weekend. And then in junior, Zane Kratz, another player, had no idea who he was, was in pretty much command over Navarro Dip, and then Navarro Dip came back and got him. But just want to give those players a shout out.
Absolutely. Any final thoughts on singles?
Yeah. I mean, I want to take a minute. I mean, I want to highlight how good Matt Guy was. And I know the story belongs to Jeremiah Ellis, and it should, right? Absolutely should. But in round number 21, what are we saying today if the first bag of round 21, Jeremiah Ellis throws off the board and he throws a 9 and Matt Guy throws a 12 and Matt Guy wins 21-3? What are we saying right now about Matt Guy at this point in the season? We're all of a sudden coming in here and saying the GOAT is back, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about the guy that everybody doubted just went through a gauntlet of pros. The guy, no joke, like no pun intended, is hitting the air miles like he should. And he's putting up crazy PPRs and he's back and he's going to take down, just like he did in previous seasons, maybe back in 2022, he won the first pro national because he was red hot and things of that nature. We can't discredit what Matt Guy did just because Jeremiah Ellis made one of the most insane comebacks we've ever seen. And it wasn't as if Matt Guy fell off a cliff. No, that would be a disservice to say that to either one of those players. Jeremiah Ellis earned that comeback. Hits 86 out of 88, does all those things we just talked about. But Matt Guy was in a position to win that he had not been in over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about it, so I really like what I'm seeing from Matt Guy. And I felt like I was an open early. My hot take a few opens ago was that Matt Guy was going to come in and be in a final, right? And that felt like hot take because everybody else was kind of, elevating their game to the next level. He didn't do well that open, right? This open, he bounces back. He's able to have a really strong finish. And I think that's going to show people that, hey, look at what he's doing his conferences at regionals. And now even most recently at an open. He's throwing at an insane PPR rate right now. And we know the PPR game may not be one that's going to be long sustained success. But if he's throwing at that clip going into this season, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to compete for championships. Because if you're going to beat him, you have to throw a 10-7. mm-hmm. you have to throw an 11.15, right? And although that may happen with certain players, on average, he's going to beat 90% of the people that he runs into. And maybe when he gets there toward the end, that one event lines up where someone has a final where they're not throwing an 11.0 PPR and they're not able to get across the finish line. They can't win and Matt Guy wins it. So I think it was important to highlight what Matt Guy did this weekend, because I think it indicates to everybody that he's back in really good form.
Well, we also saw Matt Guy implement strategy for the first time in like 15 months. I've been begging for it. And Matt Guy fired off some back blocks, and we talk about it. I talked about it on the live feeds. It changes the round from getting 2 points by hitting that airmail to your opponent missing a shot off the board, and now you're getting 5 points that round. So Matt Guy, he's still having the high PPRs. He still has the airmail. He's still running bags. But now if we get a blocker out of Matt Guy, man, look out.
I think we did a stat a couple of years ago, though, that the amount of people that have their best game against Matt Guy.
He does it to himself, though. He leaves an open path to the hole. It's not that hard to have their best game.
Right. But I'm just saying, so even though, yes, he is, you're going to need those higher PPRs to beat him, he is creating environments in which that's more likely to happen than in other games. So definitely interesting to continue watching that. Any last minute singles thoughts, Wally, before we move on to news around the league?
And now I think I touched base on pretty much everybody that was hot at the right time. Again, it wasn't a super stacked field. We got a little taste in West Virginia. It was kind of, mellow. We only had 4 brackets, but I think the cream rises to the top this one.
Absolutely. We had quite a few other events happening over the weekend. The Dutch Open in singles, Dennis Cutter took the win. In doubles, Arno Simons and Silke Bits. Sorry about that one.
Nailed it.
This is a struggle. All right. Southwest Conference singles, Ty Thompson took the win there. And doubles, Justin Burton Jr. and Logan Chamberlain. The Missouri State Championship, Landon Crabtree goes for the sweep in doubles with Justin Lang. Vermont State Championship, Colin Hodett, and then takes doubles with Dave Hodett. So lots of sweeps we're seeing in these state championships. North Dakota singles, Connor Heiser, and in doubles, Corey and Connor Heiser, and also lots of family members potentially playing together and getting those wins. West Virginia State Championship, singles, Donald Brill Jr., and then in doubles, Donald Brill Jr. with Dennis Harpold. So congrats to all of our winners. Wally, any thoughts on any of those wonderful events that happened all over the world?
Yeah, I kind of talked about that stack field that we had in West Virginia and kind of a dulled down one here. That's the reason it was kind of dulled down. Plenty of conferences going on across the entire country. A couple standouts for me, obviously my boy Landon Crabtree taking it down every single event there. I mean, there really wasn't too many Missouri players that showed up for the Michigan Open. So, I mean, everyone that was there in Missouri was, still pretty good. So for him to come out on top and get the clean sweep, I believe he had 4 plaques in the picture that I saw. So taking down every single event he entered, finally getting over that second place hump. I mean, seems like a theme you guys have been talking about, finishing problems. Landon finally finished his, finishing problem, I guess. And then Ty Thompson taking down Southwest Conference in singles. That one's kind of shocking. Trey didn't believe it when he saw it at first, and I'm right there with him. But JBJ and Logan, I mean, nothing new there. Connor has been on a tear in North Dakota. He's been the player to beat these last few years and a few conferences, I believe. Not too familiar with West Virginia, but looks like Donald Brill, he earns it.
Absolutely. Trey?
Yeah. So, on the Dutch Open side of things, the world continues to experience cornhole at a really high level. So, it's awesome to see some different names. I mean, we talk about, everybody's heard us talk about Bruno Bacchier and Mathieu Revol and even some of the players like Goonie Wrights and Emmanuel Vondren and things like that. But it's nice to see, different names up here. So what's so funny is, Dennis Cutter, right, who is the winner of singles from the Dutch Open. I get a message this morning, all right, in my Facebook inbox, and it says, "Hi, Trey, enjoy the podcast today. Let's hear a little bit about the Dutch Open because I won't be able to pull off a run like that against the European elite talent anytime soon."
All right.
So Dennis gets his shout out. Yes, he gets his shout out. I looked and, You know, what's funny is I kind of looked at, you know, statistics and everything like that. And statistically, it was one of those games where one of those things where he wasn't the most statistically impressive player in the field. He just found a way to go through the bracket. There were some great talented players in there. I was seeing the Belotses from Croatia. They were playing in it this weekend as well. You had all the big names. So these European names that keep popping up are getting more and more like recognition. And, you know, they're people that it's becoming more and more difficult. We're starting to see those consistent 9-level PPRs and 9.5 PPRs across, you know, the continent. And so now it's cool to see different names popping up and another international pro gets the job done there. So again, my anticipation just continues to build for our European Championship that'll happen in September.
Absolutely. It'll be super fun. Well, we talked about all the great cornhole that happened at Open number 12, but let's see it. So we have our top 10 shots from Michigan. So we'll take a look at that, and Wally will take us through.
All right, yeah. So starting off with a little bit of an honorable mention, this was a fun moment. We had some downtime, and we decided to fill in the courts with Ava. As Ava made her way to the court, the crowd was, I mean, there's probably like 50 people around here. It doesn't matter how hard you fall, guys. It's what you do when you get back up. And Ava fires an airmail, hits it in the hole right there. The crowd was fired up. I mean, like I said, there's probably like 50 people watching her throw, so... That was a pretty cute. Fun moment there for Ava. I reached out to her family, made sure it was cool to put her on the highlight reel. So, yeah,
she's even mastered, though, when you hit a big shot, you just do the subtle look to the side to make sure that somebody else saw it. Like, oh, do you guys see that?
Catch that?
Yeah. Make sure that you get the clip, Wally. I got you. So there you go. All right, number 10. Kind of talked about the minor league teams. I had a lot of fun watching that one. Brian Chaney with the and one, able to go up top and get that one. So, Brian Chaney on his home turf, hitting the and one, getting minor league teams going.
Yeah, he's easy. I mean, he's been on the broadcast court before. He's had plenty of experience in USA forces, so no surprise that when he hits the main stage, he can deliver.
Yeah, he hesitated for a second, though. That's the Michigan thing. Where are you from? Shoot it. Speaking of Michigan, Michigan Joe showing Jake Trzynski that everyone can sneak around on that right side of the hole like Tony Smith did again. It's just something about Jake Trzynski that people want to sneak in bags. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, everybody keeps saying their favorite player to see hit a shot against is Jeremiah Ellis because of his reactions and, like, it's just become a running joke now. But, like, I'm in the – give me a good shot against Jacob Trzynski because he is absolutely hilarious to watch when someone hits just a stupid shot. We saw it against Tony Smith, and now we get to see it against Joe K here.
Yeah, number 8 on the list is Kirsten Leaus. I have no idea where she came from, but, man, she was throwing very, very well, and then – I was like, oh, wait, that's not Jeremiah Ellis getting rodeoed against. You know, Kirsten did it to DLE. Struggled a little bit in that match, but that was a very, very strong run for her in the women's bracket and a great shot to kick it off.
It's a solid field.
Yep. Yeah, shout out to Elizabeth, by the way, finishing second in there, Elizabeth Tennyson. All right, so this is kind of hard to see from this angle, but Alex Rawls had that bag at basically a 90-degree tilt as it was going through the air, and he did it twice. Lands on the board probably about, I'd say, 6-7 inches to the right of the hole, lands and just makes an immediate left turn coming in at 3 o'clock positions. Anthony would say Alex Rawls is nasty.
Yes, he is.
I literally this past weekend, I was doing some commentary of the regional. Duncan Clemmer did something similar. I don't know what it is, but they get that bag like literally almost straight up and down and it'll just, you know, or and then they can control it either to get a little bit of a roll action or they can use it to cut across the board. It's outrageous.
It just goes to show you the pros are getting bored now. They're trying these crazy shots and they're working, so they bring them into the game. All right, number 6, fitting to put this one here again. This is pro teams action, though. Dan Glogowski and that's not Elizabeth Tennyson, even though it's a Tennyson jersey. Logan Dupler going up top 6 times in a row, draining them all. Big moment for both of them, getting called up to the big show, making it count.
So many airmails.
There's not a better feeling than when you walk up to a board and then you and the guy you're playing against, you just hit 6 straight airmails and you're like, man, we're just so good.
There is an unspoken like bond between cornhole players that once the first guy hits the airmail, then it's like, oh, we have permission to continue doing this.
And yes,
just lights out unconscious airmails there from Logan and Dan. All right, so here it is, Triple H. I love the expression. I love the shot. Triple H.
Not expecting that.
Some of the biggest tree trunks for legs you're ever going to see in the circuit, but he was able to get that one to go. Great, great match there between those two, but Triple H getting the drip with the Viper Rs.
I had to Google Triple H because Jake kept talking about it, and I had no idea what the heck that meant. Apparently, it's a wrestling thing.
Yeah, the wrestling, yeah.
Okay, well, news to me.
Oh, by the way, I almost killed myself during that commentary. I don't know if you were able to hear that part, but like we were having a wrestling thing. It was Triple H, and then it was Brett the Hitman, who was throwing with Ryan Hart. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then it was Matt Guy wearing a Guy World Order shirt. So I tried to bring us back from break doing like the, oh, what a rush. And like in that scratchiness, my voice was gone. It was so dry. I couldn't breathe for like literally 12 seconds. I'm like tapping Jake on the shoulder. I'm like,
you gotta tap in. I'm tapping out.
So bad. I thought I ruined the whole life.
Literally tapped out. Tapped out on the wrestling on the wrestling reference.
As a commentator.
All right. So Gavin Cano had a whole bunch of amazing shots. Nah. You're getting on the highlight. You're getting on the highlight reel for some awkward knuckles.
He took it back so fast. He's like, yeah. Nope.
No. He did this to himself. That was an incredible speed that we just saw from Cano. He just goes, okay, yeah. Got it. Like it was. He was ready to do that.
Is the awkward knuckles the equivalent of when you wave at someone and they don't wave back? You're like, okay. Oh, yeah.
it's up there. We need, you know, top 10 all time. You know, I'm not sure if it's top 10 all time. Still number one to this day. I love saying it all the time. It's just
Tubby
and Hunter Thor.
It's struggle bus.
Incredible.
Oh, I love it. Man. All right. So here we go. Are we done number two already? Or is it three?
It's three.
Okay. Ryan Wiedenfeld had a perfect game going at this point, and he sacrifices the perfect game to get the win up 20-2. I'm pushing through that. Jimmy Humans pushes through the final bag, keeping the perfect game there for Ryan Wiedenfeld. So Ryan Wiedenfeld's performance, along with those two awesome rolls to finish it out, deserves number three spot.
Here's the difference between me and you, Wally, and Ryan Wiedenfeld is you and I would have been counting on the perfect game, and I guarantee he had no idea he had a perfect game even.
I talked to him after that. He said, I don't know. I just feel like I was throwing good. I didn't even know I had a perfect game.
That's better. That's better because I feel like if he knew, it would have gotten maybe.
Well, there was a moment in that match where the tablet died too. And I was like, I iced him. But Navarro dip. This is the first time I've seen this, Trey. I watched a lot of cornhole. Six bags on one shot. Navarro dip again was down 16-0 at that point. Hits that shot, comes back to win that game. Takes down juniors.
Big moment.
The only way you're going to get bags to do that is if you have some that are on this side and this side. And they almost have to fall in order.
Domino.
I mean, you can't have them all fall at once, which is crazy. Yeah, I've never seen that either.
Yeah. So Navarro dip, huge shot right there. I was going to put him at number one. I had my mind made up the entire time that he was going number one, but you can't turn down this 40-round battle. When you start off with some great shots, some awkward scorekeeping and awkward knuckles to get into it, and then Jeremiah Ellis just getting fired up, ready to go, but most importantly, the crowd. The Michigan crowd stuck around for the singles finale. Jeremiah Ellis getting denied, awkward knuckles walking down. Somebody in the crowd's like, I got you. He's like, all right, bet. I'm about to turn it up here and go on a run. I mean, it makes me excited that we're going to have the broadcast for these pro events at the Opens, because if we can get crowds like we had this last weekend, bro, Trey, you're finally going to get your great call.
Yeah, that was cool.
Ellis is – look, if I'm talking to anybody here, I can talk to Ellis, right, and talk to Ellis publicly here. You have an opportunity, Jeremiah. You have an opportunity right now.
I messaged him and said there's an Ellis effect. I don't know what it is yet, but there is one.
You have that opportunity to be something that nobody else has been able to be, and that is a true superstar on the courts right now and driving that level of energy. And if it doesn't happen, it's not anybody else's fault but yours. And so look, you're at that point
great
now,
power.
Right? With great power comes great responsibility. So, I mean,
whole Spider-Man reference.
Look, there's an opportunity in front of you, and I hope you take advantage of it. That's all I'll say.
Trust me, I'm all over his DMs. I'm like, Jeremiah, we got to do this. we can make this happen.
It's only fitting to shout out to Matt Guy that Matt Guy loses the game by hitting an airmail.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. That is so true. He kind of got gored in a way.
Yeah,
he did.
That's what Anthony says it all the time. It's better there than in. That blocker sets up that difficult shot to drag both those bags.
And you know, ultimately, I think you know how well Jeremiah Ellis played when Matt Guy wins a game like that, and he wins it with a smile.
Wasn't even mad.
Matt Guy loses that game and loses it with a smile on his face because he's like,
what are you gonna do?
I threw an 11 in the finals. Like, what do you want me to do, bro? It's not like he threw an 11 over 10 rounds. He threw an 11 over 41 rounds. I mean, you just. To an extent, you can't be upset about that.
Wiedenfeld called it, by the way, on the dot before the match started. He said 41 rounds, Ellis wins.
Wasn't it 42, though, because they didn't enter that last round? No? Okay.
I think it was 40, and then that round happened there.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right, we got to move on, you guys. I know this is exciting. We love our top 10 shots, but we have a pro event coming up, and we need to get into it. So we're going to start it off with you, Wally. Let's talk about the kickoff battle.
All right, yes. So I'm excited for the kickoff battle. I've been talking about the entire time on the live feeds this last weekend. Let's get some pro-on-pro action. We've had some great finals. Like, Jake and I have been blessed with these final Sundays. I mean, we had Landon Bass against Jaden Ellis. Then we had, you know, Devin Harbaugh against Ryan Trader. And then this one here with Matt Guy. But, man, I'm ready. Let's talk about doubles first, though. I kind of broke this up into three different categories. You know, who do I think is ready to win? Who do I think could win? And then teams that I have no idea about. So going with teams that I think are ready to win, I put three of them on here to talk about. Logan Chamberlain and Justin Burton Jr., over 10 top 10 finishes between the two teams throughout this season, not to mention however many titles they've taken down either together or with other players involved in it, and then not to mention their singles titles as well. Logan Chamberlain, Justin Burton Jr. coming in. Plus, they did it last year. They won the first kickoff battle last year. You know, they got to defend it. We talk about Trey Birchfield and Adam Hisner going into it. They are at the top of the game. I'm putting them at number one. I think Trey's putting them at number one. If you're not putting them at number one, let's just be honest, you're being a hater. You're trying to find a reason not to put them at number one because they absolutely deserve it. And then Ryan Smith and Ryan Wiedenfeld. I mean, in order to beat the best, you got to beat the best. And they did it last week in commanding fashion. So if they can keep this run that they're on right now, getting hot at the right time, they'll go into it. So what do you think about those three, Trey?
No KB, no Grindersleeve.
I haven't been impressed with him, to be honest with you. Not this year.
Wow. Not been impressed is different than not putting them at number one. Let's just get that straight real quick. I'm not – like, Anthony would be disgusted with you for even inferring that out loud.
Agreed.
Wally. But, yeah.
In my defense, I was in Australia and Canada and didn't really get a chance to watch much KB and Eddie other than whenever I was there in Bryan, Texas, and that was kind of a stinker.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I would say if I'm putting other people in that same category, right? I mean, Tony Smith and Mark Richards, we can't forget about them, right? I mean, obviously this is a super team that's already won an Open, right? I'm somewhat worried about Tony Smith, right? Mark Richards is going to be there when it comes, you know, pro season time. So this is a team that a lot of people may not have them at the forefront of their minds right now because they have short-term memory. But if they come out and win this entire first national, everybody's going to go around and say, well, it was chalk, right? I mean, the best team won type of thing. So nobody's actually going to be surprised if they win the whole thing. So I think you got to put them there. And then I think, you know, Gavin Cano and Fisher Hamilton have done nothing but show that they deserve to be a part of that conversation. They're right there towards the end, whether it's in singles and in doubles. They've been on broadcast all last season. They've won events on broadcast last season. I mean, they're going to be an absolutely stout team. So when you're looking at that upper echelon, like, I think those guys deserve to be in the conversation too.
Yeah. So my next tier is teams I'm curious about. I got both those squads there, Tony Smith and Mark Richards. I also have Devin Harbaugh, Kyle Malone, Fisher Hamilton, and Gavin Cano. Kind of like what you mentioned about there. I did not like what I saw out of Fisher Hamilton this last weekend. I don't know what happened with the headphones I don't know if he got a phone call or something, but that makes me worried about his mental game as we get ready to go into the pro season. Devin Harbaugh, Mark Richards, two of the strongest mental game players. So I expect big things out of those squads. I just haven't seen enough this season that tells me they're ready to win it. But then again, there's a whole entirely different mindset whenever the pro season starts. You almost snap your fingers. Tony even talked to me about it this last weekend. He's like, I don't know, man. I just can't get fired up like I do at a pro event. So, two other teams I want to highlight. Jimmy Humans and Brady.
By the way.
Jimmy Humans and Brady Foster look really, really good. I like what I saw out of them a couple times back to back now. So I think that they're ready for the pro season. And we talk about Matt Guy, but Brett Guy is throwing great this season. Mm-hmm. Brett Guy is back in the tens. I don't need Brett Guy to win me a tournament if I'm partnering up with Matt Guy. I just need Brett Guy to win or hold his own on the other side and let Matt Guy score all the points on the other. And I think we could get that.
That's fair.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And the first team I was going to talk about was Matt and Brett Guy, right? Because I think Matt Guy did a great thing this past weekend, get everybody in the forefront of their minds, right? And I think we also need to appreciate something for a second. Matt Guy and Brett Guy won the 2017 doubles world championship. They were consistently there at the end across every season. And then the pro division was formed. Matt Guy didn't immediately join. We know that story. But then when they joined, what happened? Matt Guy pairs with Jamie Graham. And then for three seasons, Matt Guy and Jamie Graham are this package, while as Brett Guy and Eric Davis are this package. It has been years since we have seen Matt and Brett Guy, the father and son duo, pair up to play together. And I think that's significant that for the first time in many years, we're going to get them see play at the highest level together. Another team that I would put in that category that you probably are putting in your third category or may not in any of them, Wally, someone that I've got to see very recently is Jamie Graham and Frank Modlin. I've seen them at conferences. I've seen them at regionals. They are throwing together like a top-tier team very recently. They weren't at the beginning of the year, but very recently they are. So for me, okay, I'm excited to see them to see if they can continue that momentum, because if they can, you know, we're going to get reminded real quick just how good Jamie and Frank are.
Yeah, I haven't really had a chance to look at them much. And honestly, every time you've gone live, I've either been doing something too. So I haven't had a chance to really get an eye on them. I've been seeing all the stats in the post with Jamie Graham. I didn't know Frank was throwing that well too. So that's exciting to see. All right, last category is kind of teams that I don't know. I feel like they could win.
Question mark.
I feel like they could win, but I haven't really seen enough, and I just don't know. I have no idea. I'm excited to watch it. What, 256 pros coming into this? I want to see 200 of them on my court. I want to draw this out as long as possible, one match at a time, so I can see everybody. It's not possible, thank God. But, you know, players that I have on my list, AJ Sims and Braden Wilson. You know, Braden Wilson had a strong showing last weekend. AJ Sims, we got to get this man a title at some point, right? It's got to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Haven't heard anything from Berkeley Perrin and Trevor Brooks. Almost forgot Trevor Brooks was a pro this year. I don't know if he's just Jimmy Graham's hype man still or if he's throwing bags in the hole. Matthew Creekkiller and Ryan Windsor, a lot of hype during the offseason for this team. I can't remember them throwing together one time this entire Open, maybe the first Open. Yeah. Noah Almanza and Noah Wooten. How is Noah Wooten going to bounce back? We've seen Almanza throw with Justin Burton Jr. and Logan Chamberlain.
I forgot they were a team. We got the Ryans and the Noahs.
Yeah, so Noah squared. I want to see what they got to the table. And then Jeremy Frazier and Cheyenne Bubenheim, another offseason team that I was really, really looking forward to that I haven't had the chance to really see in person yet. I mean, we got our usual suspects, you know, Derek Holland, Alex Rawls, Chris Kingsbury, Alan Rawls. I mean, I'm throwing a lot of names out there, Trey, but who are you looking forward to that we really haven't seen enough of yet?
Well, first of all, you're going to have your canine privileges revoked for not bringing up Alex Hicks and Ryan Trader. I mean,
How in the world
does Wally Canine not get through a show where he's got an opportunity to talk about anybody he wants to and not talk about Alex Hicks and Ryan Trader? So first of all,
super stoked about how they finished in West Virginia. I was like, yes, let's go. They're on my fantasy team. I was ready. And then last week, kind of a stinker. I'm like, where you guys at? What are you doing? It's a smaller field with less competition. So maybe that's a good thing that they do better with better fields.
Okay. You
know? So I don't know. I'll try.
Excuses now. So Hicks and Trader are absolutely on my radar because Trader has been the most dominating player at the open field so far this season. I don't think anybody can say they've had a better singles open run, right? Richards is the only one who has won multiple with Trader, but we haven't seen Richard a bunch the past month and a half, 2 months. Trader continues to finish near the top in all of those. So paired with an Alex Hicks who, you know, we know the history of Alex Hicks and we know how he's been so close towards the end. I think he's got a really strong opportunity to be a really dynamic team. The only other one, you know, that I have on my list that I find really interesting that I keep seeing top 10 at these opens, but I'm not seeing a top five finish. Jordan Power and Joe Niestedt, right? Niestedt has been really, really consistent over the past few years. Jordan Power is a little bit more up and down, but obviously won a world championship with Jay Rubin. And we always talked about, can Jordan Power get to that place where he was with Jay Rubin? Because Jay Rubin just had it, right? He had that ability to just turn it on and take over games and take over tournaments, right? If this is a team that can win a world championship, Jordan Power has to be as good as he was, which we know he can be, and he can talk his way into it, and he can win those mind games. But it's Joe Niestedt. Joe K has to have the it, right? Jordan Power is going to be the flashy one and get him some big wins and big situations. But Joe K has got to be the one that's consistent, that carries the load a lot of through a lot of these tournaments and is the guy that has the it factor that Jay Rubin had for a number of different years. So I'm watching out for Joe K and Jordan Power.
Yeah, I got a chance to hang around Joe K quite a bit. We went to the casino and hung around, watched some March Madness, and pretty much hung out with him this whole entire weekend. And his mindset's where it needs to be. I think that him and Jordan Power probably should have been teamed up all along, you know, the last two or three seasons. So it's the right time for them to start getting hot.
Well, I think it went pretty well for Rubin and Power, but
that's what I'm saying. It was like, I was kind of shocked when Nico and Joe broke up, but then I was like, oh, well, Joe's probably going to throw with Jordan. And then Jordan and Jay stuck together. I'm like, eh, we'll see what happens. Okay, that was good. That was a good run.
Yeah. All right, moving on to buy or sell. First one, Adam Hisner is the A player with Birchfield at the B position. Trey, buy or sell?
Yeah, I'll sell it because I don't think I can personally identify when they play doubles. Now, in singles, I would say yes. Hisner is a better singles player in this current time, right? And I would say it that way. But when they play in doubles, they have a fantastic dynamic that has been really good chemistry between the two of them. I don't see an A and a B player. Some of those partnerships, you generally do see an A and a B player. In this particular instance, I think they're a really well-balanced team. And I don't think you have that dynamic. I'll sell.
Wally?
Yeah, I'm going to sell as well. I feel like Adam and Trey, they mellow each other out. And like you said, it's kind of the dynamic is something I didn't see. Trey is talking this year. He's chirping. There's times where Trey will chirp down to Adam because he's comfortable with him. And he'll be like, well, that was a stupid shot. And like Adam doesn't just fire back. Adam actually takes it in. He's like, that was a stupid shot. You're right. And he'll still have his little smart aleck remark or whatever. But at the same time, it looks like Trey is actually getting through to Adam. So it's like, okay, maybe Trey's in charge. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably because Hisner was so used to Cody Henderson literally like yelling that you're an idiot. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, it was a little bit toxic, a little bit from my perspective, but it worked for him. Isabella Saprenant finishes the season outside of the top five women.
Yeah, call me crazy, but I think I have to buy this based on some of the comments that I've made recently about some of the players that I think will be top five in women's. Like, I think you just need to pencil, you know, not pencil, you need pen in. Cheyenne's going to be there, right? I talked about Kaylee Hunter. I think Sam Finley's there. You add in some form of combination of Rosie Streaker. I've been high on Peyton Haynes making a deep run. Even someone like a Kimberly Glass. Like, I think there's so many that are in that 3-8 range. I think Bella is in that 3-8 range, but statistics tell me that taking a year off and then trying to come back, and it's going to be tough. I'm going to sell it, even though I'm rooting for her.
You're going to buy it.
Yeah, you're going to buy it.
I'm going to buy it. Sorry. I'm going to buy it.
I say, okay. I'm right there with you. I agree for the exact same reason, so I'm not going to harp too much on it. I'm just going to buy it because I think the field has gotten tougher. Before there was 8 women that I think had a chance, and I think there's probably 15. So her tournament run to get there to be the top five is going to be a little bit more difficult. And then taking the year off away from the elite competition, I think, hurt her.
I know you guys love these ones. Gavin Cano has a finishing problem.
Doing my boy dirty like that, man.
I was going to say, did you write Jeremiah Ellis? And then when he won, backspace.
She's just leaving it blank. She's leaving it blank. So-and-so has a finishing problem. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to go ahead and cut in front of you, Trey. I'm selling it, man. I don't think it's so much as Gavin as much as it was just time. Jeremiah Ellis had his family in attendance. He was close to home. Matt Guy has been on a heater. It was just on a run. I hated that Gavin Kano had to take on Jeremiah Ellis in the semifinal, but I loved the way the finals played themselves out. So it was destined to be Jeremiah Ellis's day. Gavin Kano is going to get his soon.
Trey?
Yeah, I'm going to sell, but I'm warming up to it. I mean, I'm watching. I mean, like, over the consistent time period, I mean, how far back you want to go? You want to go all the way back to Worlds? You know, Worlds, remember, he was about, you know, had a chance to win the world, you know, win the semifinals against Jamie Graham and gave up a big lead. People forget about that, right? Yeah. He had a chance to beat Jamie Graham, right? And he came up short. He didn't do it. He's won a bunch of brackets this year. He's like Jeremiah Ellis. If Jeremiah Ellis had lost, I couldn't right. think about it, but I probably would have said the same thing now. I feel like Gavin Kano is on that next tier. So does that mean Gavin's like right there about to get his next win? I think so. I'm going to sell for now, but I'm not away from it.
Yeah, right. I do got to say Gavin is probably pressing a little bit though. He wants it so bad, but just let the bags do the work, bud.
Jeremiah Ellis has retaken the pole position over Ryan Trader for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, so if the voting ended now, we were just voting on what based on what we've seen. No, I still got to give it to Trader. But like, if you're saying in my pole position is Jeremiah Ellis trending the best right now, I am gonna buy that. I absolutely think so. I think the only thing holding back Jeremiah Ellis over these past 3 or 4 months was that he couldn't get across the finish line, and now that he has, yikes! I don't want to play against him. I think he's the most talented player, got the best mental game right now. I'm gonna go buy.
Wally.
All right, so a little teaser. I got something working. So if you guys like cornhole, cross your fingers, pray to the cornhole gods that it happens. I'll answer this question, but I'm going to go ahead and sell it. Ryan Trader, he's won more. He's been there consistently. Ryan Trader and Ellis are a great pairing to have on K9. I'm excited to have them there, but I need one more out of Ellis to tie, and then at that point, just let them battle it out. But I'm going to sell it for now.
Okay. Matt Guy is in your top five right now.
Sell too early. He doesn't want to be top five. Don't put him. If you're a Matt Guy, you watch this. I know. I don't think he does. You don't want to be top five. Be 25. Be 25 and be fine. Right. That's where Matt Guy is going to do his best damage. Sell it. Doesn't need to be there right now. Let him earn it.
Wally.
Buy it. He's earned it. I'm putting him there. High PPRs, perfect air mails like we see all the time. And now the blocker. The blocker is what puts him there. If we get pro version Matt Guy blocking other pros and trying to generate 5-point rounds instead of twos and threes, I'm putting Matt Guy in my top five. Very impressed.
All right. Hot take time. What you got, Trey?
All right. We're talking about the kickoff battle in doubles. I'm going to do singles next week and do a hot take around singles. Here on doubles, I like what I've seen so far. There's still a lot of question marks. I'm expecting a top five finish, which would be making the bracket final for Frank Modlin and Jamie Graham.
Okay.
Kickoff battle.
Wally.
All right. So last year, Trey and I, we had a little friendly bet. He still owes me a steak.
That's true. I do.
With a little asterisk because Matt Guy technically won his bracket, but that wasn't broadcast on TV. So technically, I still won. But I'm going to say I'm willing to put that steak on the line here that Matt Guy and Brett Guy win a pro doubles title.
Okay. Wow. Wait, is that like a double down situation though?
Double or nothing?
Yeah.
I could probably only eat one steak at a time, but yeah, why not?
Double or nothing. Let's do it.
Right. Double or nothing. I'm going to continue on the Ellis train. Trey doesn't have as much faith in Hart for finishing, but I say that Jeremiah Ellis and Ryan Hart get a bracket win at the first national. So there you go. Spicy hot, or is it? Spicy. I'm not going to be Jake and say there's no competition, a couple Ellis's, but I think that they can get it done. All right, guys, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you all next time.